Anyhow, I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 3. Book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 3. Thank you, Brother Michael, for getting me in the pulpit at 7:30. That's what I want every night, unless the Lord gets in it. I want 7:30. I want in this pulpit while I can preach and get these people back home again. Brother, we'll take up that offering after service, okay? If you'll just find a seat somewhere. He just got married. He's so confused. And he's so messed up. He wants to sing a special during the altar call. He's all confused. Cheer up. It gets worse. It gets worse. I appreciate it. Yeah, he'll be driving different cars after a while, I guarantee you. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Good to have all of our visitors here. I was thinking as I came in the building, I was downstairs having prayer till the church time starts. I get good liberty when I go down there. They just laid new tile in the room where I pray, and the smell of that glue. Son, I come up here, I'm wild as a buck by the time I get up here. So if you get here and you want liberty in the service, just go downstairs and pray in that room. It'll come, I guarantee you. And when I come up here, I see many people. How many of you here tonight remember 12 years ago at the Cock County Fairground when I brought my tent and revival broke out for many, many weeks? How many of you were there during that meeting? I don't know, 9 weeks, I think the meeting went on all together. And then we moved it on up into Kingston. I was preaching every morning up in Kingston. Revival broke out and preaching in Newport every night. Then we moved up to Kingston and stayed 3 more weeks. Had over 1,000 a night. Had to bring the state troopers in to direct the traffic. And many of you here tonight were saved in that tent meeting. And that is a great blessing to see you here tonight still living for the Lord 12 years later. You don't know how much that encourages my heart. Thank you, preachers, for coming. I know you're very busy. There's a lot of places you could have been, but I appreciate you being here. I wanted to thank Brother and Miss Franklin for having me in their home tonight. It was a privilege to eat at your table, dear brother, and I think several of the ladies were instrumental in putting that meal together. I want to thank you so much for the good meal that we had. This is a precious church and wonderful people, and I appreciate many of you driving a long distance. We'll be going through Friday night, the Lord willing. If God gives me liberty, I don't want to commit to it without the Spirit of God. But next Tuesday, they're voting on liquor by the drink, I believe it is, here in Newport, Tennessee. And surely, if you're saved by the grace of God, I don't even have to tell you how the Bible would have you to vote. And I hope that you'll be sure to go exercise your privilege in voting next week. And you go in there and pull that curtain and vote for the Republican of your choice. And you'll be doing what's right. And if you're dumb enough to have a carry sticker on your car, then we'll let you park in the handicap parking out here. If you're that far gone, you deserve to be in handicap parking. I don't want to get on all that. We haven't taken up the offering yet. I went there after the offering. 2 Samuel chapter number 3, verse number 31. If you have a King James Bible, if you don't, please close what you have. It puts off a foul odor in the house of God. Verse 31, and David said to Joab and to all the people that were with him, rend your clothes and gird you with sackcloth and mourn before Abner. King David himself followed the bier, or he was right behind the casket. And they buried Abner in Hebron. And the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner. They're at the graveside service and David is crying. And all the people wept. The king lamented over Abner and said, died Abner as a fool dieth. Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put in the fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. All the people wept again over him. David said, I want to make one thing clear in verse number 38 of the same chapter. The king said unto his servants, know you not that there's a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel? Those of you that know the story, I won't take time to get into a lot of the detail because I want to be brief tonight. You know how Abner was a great servant and a warrior and a leader. And he went to the town of Hebron, one of the cities of refuge, to visit David. You know the story how earlier in the book Abner had killed one of Joab's brothers. And Joab had vowed to get even with Abner one day. And Abner was at the place of Hebron, which is one of the cities of refuge, a place of safety in the presence of David, a type of Christ. And Hebron's a type of the church. It means the assembly. Here he is in church in the presence of God, and as long as he was there in David's presence, he was protected. But the Bible said that Abner left. And when he got away, the Bible said that Joab found him and smote him under the fifth rib, and Abner died. Now here they are at the funeral of Abner. And they're going to the gravesite to bury him, and David follows fast behind the head of the casket. You know how it is, such as it is at a graveside. They all gathered around the open pit, and the casket was put on the rollers and the tray there, and they were getting ready to lower his body in the ground. And they said, David, you're king of Israel. We want you to be in charge of Abner's funeral. We want you to hold the graveside service. And if you'll study the life of Abner, you'll find that there were a lot of good things David could have said about Abner. As a matter of fact, in verse number 38, he called him a prince. He said, I'll tell you something about Abner. This ain't just a regular man. This is a great man of Israel that's died today. There's a lot of good things David could have said at the graveside. But he knew he had the ear of all Israel looking at him. And David said, this is not a time to brag on his successes. This is not a time to tell you how great of a man it is. Out of all the things David could have said about Abner, here's what he said. Died Abner as a fool dieth. I want to preach tonight for just a few minutes on the subject. What would people say at your graveside service? What would people say about you at your graveside service? Now, most of you know that I'm an embalmer. I had all the intentions of being an embalmer till I died. It's a lot easier to bury Baptists than it is to preach to them. When you embalm them, it's the only time you can push on them and they don't get mad. Amen. It's the only time you can cut on them and they don't yell back. Hopefully they don't yell back. And all my life I had a dream of being an embalmer, and still do some on the side just as a hobby. So funerals kind of take on a different perspective to me than the average Bible reader. And a lot of people don't realize the power and the influence that a preacher has in what he says at a funeral and at a graveside service. I tell you what, I've buried hundreds and hundreds of people, and it's amazing to me what preachers say at their funerals. It's amazing to me how they can find something good to say about everybody, no matter how they lived and how they died. There's very few men that's got enough guts in God to stand up and tell the truth at a funeral anymore. But David said, I want all Israel to know, he died like a fool. I want to ask you something, sir. If you dropped dead tonight and a preacher that buried you was honest, what would he say at your graveside? May I say to you, can I take you to a couple of graveside services quickly tonight? The caskets are already out at the cemetery. The holes have already been dug. The artificial grass is already put over the dirt. The planks are put across the hole and the casket is in place. Let's go to these gravesides tonight and see what they're saying about them. You'll find that probably every one of us in this building tonight will fit in one of these categories as well. Again, I take you to the graveside of Abner. The fact that David called him a fool. Why did David call Abner a fool? He was never guilty of getting drunk. Not one time in his life. He was never guilty of being an enemy of David. One time in his life. Nowhere in the Bible was Abner ever guilty of any kind of immoral sin that was inappropriate as a leader of Israel. He was never a traitor. He never sold out. He never compromised. He always stood and fought for what he thought he was right. But you know why David said he was a fool at his grave? Because he had left the city of refuge and became friends with those that were at once his enemy. I will tell you something, brother. I told you Hebron means the assembly. Now, I'm going to offend some of you here, but that's all right. I'm going to tell you, it's a fool A Christian is a fool to get out of church and believe they can live for God and stay right with God. That's an impossibility. Brother, I believe there's a special umbrella of protection that God puts around His people when they're faithful to the house of God. I believe you ought to be faithful to the house of God. I don't think you ought to miss church, bless God, because your cat's got the croup, or your dog's got the mange, or your hair hurts, or one of the great-grandchildren has diarrhea, and bless God, the whole family's got to stay at home. I tell you, when you get right with God, you want to go to church. Amen, that's right. Be amazed how many people claim they're right with God and don't go to church. That's a bunch of hogwash. But tell you, the more you love God, the more you'll love the church. And David said, I tell you why he's a fool. Because he got out of church and thought he could survive. He started hobnobbing with Joab and those that was his enemy. I'm going to tell you something. You watch this Christian crowd that starts flirting with the crowd they used to stand against. They're on their way out. Amen. Somebody told me in a meeting the other day, so, well, Brother Kid, do you hunt? And I don't hunt. And I know I've heard several of y'all talk. How many of you hunt? Raise your hand. God's looking, you bunch of liars. You'll drop dead if you don't tell me the truth. Young lady, you hunt too? All right. Well, it takes all kinds. Now, I'm not against hunting. I'm really not. I've just never been depressed enough to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, sit in a tree, and look like a retarded squirrel. Bless God, I hate to tell you this, but a deer ain't nothing but a goat with thyroid trouble. And I know we're living in the world, and we're the salt of the world, of this world, and we're the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And I understand we got to live in a godless world and try to be a testimony. But I cannot let the enemy of God become my friend. Jesus said, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. Brother, there's a certain line of separation that I've got to keep from the world. That's why I don't go hunting in these lodges with all these lost men while they drink beer and cuss God and make fun of the church and laugh at old time preaching. I ain't a hunting with that crowd. I ain't a fishing with that crowd. I ain't a fooling with that crowd. You got to come out from them and be separated. And you start running around with them, you'll die like a fool. You'll die like a fool. Amen, that's right. The graveside of Aaron, I wonder if you died tonight, would you be considered a fool? A fellow told me, he said, well, let me tell you why I hunt. Said, I don't care if I see any deer or not. Said, I just climb up in that tree and said, man, I get with God up there. I said, oh, really? I said, why don't you climb it in June? Why don't you climb it in August? If I found God somewhere, I'd go year round. Look up here, bless God, I ain't praying, I'm preaching. Go ahead and get under the pew. You'll bump heads with your buddy in a minute. Your hunting buddy's crawling under there too. Look up here at me. I tell you, if I could find God in a tree, I'd be up there more in November or January. You fellas shouted last night. I want to know what's wrong. Oh, that's a bunch of hogwash. People talk about missing church and finding God in the deer stand. Missing church, finding God in a boat. They're a bunch of liars. I tell you, God instituted the local church for His people to come together and worship. And when you're out of church, you'll die like a fool. We had a man come to our church some time ago, and I said, sir, I appreciate you visiting here. Good to have you. I said, where do you go to church? He said, nope, nope, nope. Don't start that junk with me. He said, I don't belong to any church. I said, oh, really? What happened? He said, I had a bad experience with the church. I don't have anything to do with the church. I said, well, what do you do for a living? He said, I'm a pharmacist. I said, well, let me tell you something. I had a bad experience with a pharmacist one time. But that don't stop me from going to get medicine when I don't feel good. And I'm sick of people coming to me and say, well, you know, I just had a bad experience with the church. You had a bad experience with your wife, but you're still with the old hag, ain't you? Stay with her longer, honey. You got a lot more to come. You ain't seen nothing yet. Cheer up. It gets worse. I tell you, that's a bunch of hogwash. That's nothing but an excuse, brother. I tell you, I got a commandment of God not to forsake the assembling of the self as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the damned. I tell you, you get out of church, you'll die like a fool. You'll die like a fool. Wait a minute. Here's another cemetery. What's going on up here? I notice immediately this is the first grave being dug in this new cemetery. There's a sign. New cemetery purchased with money by blood. It's called a potter's field. Hey, excuse me. Funeral director, who is that being buried? I notice this is a new cemetery just been bought. Whose grave are you digging there? And they said, man, haven't you heard? One of the disciples of Jesus committed suicide the other day. We took the money that he betrayed the Lord with, that 30 pieces of silver, said it was blood money. We couldn't put it back in the treasure, so we bought this cemetery plot. It's owned by the government now. It's called the Potter's Field. And said, we're digging the first pot up there. His name's Judas. He's one of the 12 apostles of Jesus. Said he hung himself. And said when we found him, his head had already rotted from his shoulders and his body fell down the side of the hill. The Bible said in Acts 1 and his guts busted out. Said we're burying him this afternoon. I can imagine in my imagination, brothers, they gathered around a little old crowd of people, maybe some distant relatives or friends. They gather around that casket and they get ready to lower it in the ground. And somebody said, does anybody have a word you'd like to say at the graveside of this man? And instead of somebody standing up and said, no, he died like a fool. Somebody lifted up their voice and said, I want to tell you something about Judas. He not only died like a fool, but he died a faker and a pretender. He followed Jesus for 3.5 years. He learned all the do's and the don'ts. He started a religious experience, but he had never been born again by the Spirit of God. He said he was saved, but he talked one way and he lived another way. His heart never was with God. He was nothing but a religious freak that had never truly been born again. He never loved the Lord. He never was saved. He never was transformed. He never had a desire to serve Jesus. He never was faithful to the cause. Hey, look up here at me. I'll tell you something. About half of you that claim to be saved are lost a bunch of billy goats. You lay drunk, you cuss God, you shack up, you smoke dope, you live like a bunch of dogs. There's never any chastisement in your life. God never deals with you. You live like a bunch of hogs and love every minute of it. I don't care how good you look in the casket, how many people send flowers and what they say at your grave. I'll tell you something, you die without God, you're a faker and a phony. I'll tell you something. If God would show you how many people in this building tonight was lost, it'd probably blow your mind. You'd be surprised what some people take on to cover the fact that they've never been saved. Many years ago when I was in Bible college, we had a man come in and preach one night. He said, Brother Kidd, when I was a young man, I used to preach at the nursing home up the road here. And he said, when I'd go in the front door, there was an old man in the wheelchair named Brother Douglas. Said he was an old man up in his 90s. He said he'd meet us at the door in his wheelchair with a big family altar, large print Bible in his lap. He said when we'd come in the door, he'd start shouting, praise God, I've been waiting on you boys. Woo, we're going to have a meeting today. He said, man, we were just young preacher boys getting started. He said that old man would shout and wave his hand, said he'd fire us up. We'd preach like a bunch of wild men in that nursing home. He said everybody loved Mr. Douglas. Said we had many a prayer meeting back there in the room where he stayed, shared a room with another man. He said one day we came into the nursing home talking about being fake. Said we come into the nursing home and we noticed Mr. Douglas didn't meet us at the door in the wheelchair like he'd had for years. He said, I went up to the nurse's station and said, ma'am, where's Mr. Douglas? I noticed he's not here today. And she said, oh, yes. I said, Mr. Douglas died this morning. He's gone. The funeral home has just come and taken his body not long ago, and his family's not even come to get his belongings yet. And he said, you know how young preachers are. We were standing there at the desk, receptionist desk, and we got to shouting and crying and saying, woo! Praise God, he's in heaven now. He's not in a wheelchair. He's a running down the street of gold. He's a having a time. He's in a glorified body. He'll never be sick again. And he said, about that time, the receptionist stood up and said, Brother Billy, could I see you for just a moment, please? He said, she took me down the southern corridor of that nursing home to the last room to the left. And as we turned and went into the room, she said, do you know whose room this is? He said, oh, sure. It's old Brother Douglas's room. We've shouted. We've had time. She said, that's right. She said, Brother Billy, we all thought Mr. Douglas loved God just like you did. But said, since he passed away, we went through all of his belongings and his private locker and stuff. And she said, I just think I need to show you something before you leave. They opened up the locker that Mr. Douglas kept locked and they pulled out two little square black foot lockers. And He said, oh, yes, I've seen Mr. Douglas open that locker and get his robe out before. I've seen those foot lockers where he keeps his belongings. She said, that's right. She kicked the lid off of one of those foot lockers, and it was filled with pornography and naked children and nude and filth I wouldn't even mention in a mixed congregation. And he said, Brother Kidd, I was devastated. I couldn't believe it. He said, but I thought, she said, it's all right. I said, we're just as shocked as you are. But she said, I want to show you something else. And she opened up the other foot locker, and it was filled with wallets and purses and jewelry. And one of them was even a watch on a chain. He said, well, Mr. Douglas was poor. Where did he get all this? She said, Brother Billy, when one of the people would die in the rooms, Brother Douglas would roll his wheelchair in there and say, look, we were good friends, and I love them, and we worship God together. And he said, I just want to stay here till the family or the funeral home comes. And she said, we trusted him, and we'd walk out of the room. And that 90-year-old man, decrepit in a wheelchair, would steal everything of value they had. This is stuff that belonged to other people. And he said, Brother Kidd, I thought I'd die. He said, I turned around and I walked out the door, and he said, I didn't know what I was going to tell those other men. And he said, it seemed like a mile back to that receptionist desk where those boys were waiting on me, and they was just shouting and ready to preach. And he said, I took about 3 or 4 steps down that hallway, and it seemed like my world was crumbling. I thought about the times he shouted and waved his Bible and wanted to testify and cried when we had service up there in that open auditorium in the front of that nursing home. And he said, about halfway down that hallway, the Holy Ghost tapped on my heart and said, don't be so surprised. There's going to be a lot of black foot lockers open one of these days. Oh, you can fool some of the people all the time and some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool God. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere. And some of us, you died today, you've never lived for God, and your family would have to bury you as a fake and a phony. Number 3, I've got to hurry and close. I've got to hurry. Many more I could get to, but I'm running out of time. I got to roll. Number 4, I'm going to skip number 3. You could be buried as a failure. Number 4. Hey, wait a minute. That new cemetery that was just opened up that Judas was buried in, I can't believe it. They're already digging another hole out beside his now. Don't tell me another one of his disciples have died. We just had one funeral in this potter's field. Now we're out here again. What's going on? And I go up to the funeral director and say, excuse me. Uh-oh. Don't tell me another apostle has committed suicide. How come y'all are digging another hole? They said, no, that's not for another apostle. Said, an old vagabond thief just died on a cross. Said, he has no family, no money, nowhere to go, so we buried him in a potter's field. He died on the cross next to Jesus just a little while ago, and we're going to throw him in the open hole over here. And I can imagine if maybe somebody from the community would have been there, and they were getting ready to lower him in the ground, and the funeral director says, anybody got a word they'd like to say about this old dirty, rotten, filthy, egg-sucking, corrupt, sinful thief? Somebody raise their hand and say, yes. I'd like for you to know he's not a fool and he's not a fake and he's not a failure. But as you bury him, I want you to know one thing about him. He's been forgiven. What do you mean forgiven? You just said he was a vagabond. You just said he was a thief. You just said he was a nobody. Yeah, but while he was hanging on the cross yonder there yesterday, he looked over to Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I tell you, bless God, when I die, I want everybody to know I've been forgiven. Hallelujah to God. Yes, I was a dirty, rotten sinner. Should have been in hell a long time ago. But thank God for His forgiving, saving grace. Many years ago, up in the New England states, true story, a rich businessman got word one day that his turn your telephone off. You didn't win the lottery. Got word one day that his teenage daughter had rebelled. In spite of his love for Jesus, his love for his home, his love for the Bible, multimillionaire. His teenage daughter said, it's greener on the other side and I'm gone. You come home from work one day and heard a devastating report. Years went by, Brother Franklin. Nobody knew where she was. He didn't know if she was dead or alive. No family ties. No contact at all. All of a sudden, there was a message that come home. When the message came to the father's desk, here's what it said. Daddy, I don't deserve it, but I'm tired, and I want to come home. I'm down to nothing. I'm a prodigal. If you tell me not to come home, I understand. I'm not leaving until I get word. I want you to know I got right with God, and I want to come home and get right with you and Mom. I've broke your heart. You didn't know if I was dead or alive, and she said, I'll tell you, I got right with God, Daddy, and I'm coming home. Just tell me you'll let me come home. And he sent word back. True story, she got on a train and started back to the New England states. It was a massive accident on a railroad system that night. And that precious girl never got to make it home to hug her daddy and personally say, I'm sorry. She was killed that night on that train accident. And when they brought her carcass home in that crate, the daddy knew all people were going to remember about her were those years of rebellion and that wasted life she had thrown away. And the preacher that gave the illustration had a picture of the tomb. It's 6 feet tall and 4.5 feet wide. And she's buried in a rich, rich family cemetery. The only thing on the bottom of it is her name. But it's 6 feet tall and 4.5 feet wide. And it's got one word stamped across that granite. In big letters it says, forgiven. He said, when anybody comes in this cemetery and they stand at the foot of my daughter's grave and they start talking about her wasted years and how she thrown her life away, he said, bless God, I want to remind that crowd, we buried her forgiven. Hallelujah to God. All of us ought to be in hell tonight, but aren't you glad you've been forgiven? Forgiven. When they stand at my grave, I want them to say, he's been forgiven. I'm closing. The first grave that has ever been dug is being dug on the hillside by Adam himself. It's amazing. It's his son, Abel. Abel was slew by his own brother, Cain. First grave that was ever dug was a righteous man, according to Hebrews 11. And God said, even though he's dead, he still speaketh. When we stood by the graveside of Abel, you know what they said about him? We're burying a man that's going to be fruitful. Even though he's dead and in the grave, the righteous works of Abel and his faith in God will travel on down through the eons of time. Listen, when I leave this world, I don't only want to die forgiven, but I want to die sowing some seed and leaving some fruit behind that long after I'm silent in the grave, somebody may pick up an old tape somewhere or pick up an old CD out of somebody's desk and put it in a tape player somewhere. And while my voice is silent in the grave, throw it in an old recorder and get under conviction. I tell you, brother, even after I'm dead and gone, I want to have fruit in my life. I got to hurry and close. I got to close. I got 3 minutes. I got to close. 2 Kings 13. I'll give you this and I'm done. God told you I love funerals. I look at them in a different perspective. I know, but Israel's having a funeral for this guy. And they're passing by the sepulcher of Elijah. Now, Elijah's been dead a long time, man. This guy didn't even meet Elijah in his lifetime. And as they were on their way to bury this guy in the cemetery, Moab come down to attack Israel. And they said, man, if we bury this guy, the Moabites are going to kill us. What in the world are we going to do? And a funeral director said, look, this guy is dead anyhow. Just throw him in the sepulcher of Elijah. Throw him over in our sepulcher. Elijah had been dead for years. That dead man never knew him, never met him. He'd heard of him, but he had never met him. And brother, they took that dead man, they threw him in that open sepulcher, and the Bible said, and I'm telling you what the Bible said. The Bible said when his body touch the bones of that prophet, he revived. Now bless God, they just threw him in there. embalmed and dead. And all of a sudden, coming out of the dark mouth of that sepulcher, he said, "Hey, wait on me." Oh, brother. When dead folks start saying, "Wait on me," I'm a picking up traction, son. Dead people won't hurt you, but they'll make you hurt yourself. And the Bible said the Moabites were pursuing after Israel. Now watch this. But when that dead man stood up and started talking, nowhere in 2 Kings 13 did the Moabites ever pursue Israel anymore. So when that dead man come out, they all felt led of the Holy Ghost to go home. There was no fight. Son, how'd you like to have that kind of influence long after you're dead and gone? People just walk by your grave and fall on their old time conviction and still bring forth fruit in your even your death for the glory of God. I want to ask you something. Stand to your feet. Stand up. I'm done. I'm going home. Stand up. Hurry up. Everybody, stand up. I'm leaving. I want to ask you something. What would they say at your graveside tonight? Piano's playing softly. Are you a fool? Have you quit on God? Are you a fake that's never really been saved? Are you a failure that's going to die in disgrace? Have you been forgiven? Do people around you know you've really been saved? Wouldn't you like to leave this world in a fashion that you could bring forth fruit for the honor and the glory of God? What would they say at your graveside? I'm not talking about what they'll say publicly. I'm talking about what they're going to think privately. Some of you claim the name of Jesus, you've never lived for God. You have never lived for God. And when your family buries you, they'll really wonder if you're in heaven or hell. Could I have a little volume, please, sir? Thank you. Well, they're going to say at your graveside if you died tonight. I'm not talking about 20 years from now. I'm talking about if you died going home tonight. What are they going to say when you die, son? You're going to have a good, clear-cut testimony that you're with Jesus? Are they going to close the lid in your face saying, "Well, I hope they were ready to meet God. I don't want to leave here that way." We buried a girl in our church some time ago and her parents walked by me. And you know what they said? Been in church all of her life. You know what they said? "I hope she was ready." I thought, my God, how sad to bury a daughter that lived in such a way where you really don't even know if she was saved or not. I don't want to leave here like that. I don't want to leave here like that. Some of you are quitters. If you died tonight, you'd be in disgrace. You failed God. I wonder, while our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, thank you for coming. Thank you so much for being here tonight.